What is up, Pod Foundation family? We are here. It's the Pod Warriors bringing you guys a special kind of a one-off episode here. I know you guys were probably expecting the regular traditional Chick Foley show, but Sheena is unable to record this week. We actually had a, all things considered, a minor family emergency. Our precious daughter, Stella, was roughhousing with her brother in the backyard yesterday and fell down and broke her collarbone. So we were, ER and doctoring it up all night last night when we were planning to record. And then, Sheena's got to tend to her today. But we were still dedicated to bring you guys a Dynasty preview. And so we've linked up with Jordan to do a special Pod Warrior show preview. This is totally outside of what we normally do. You know, we like to stick to the evergreen stuff and just bring you guys stuff that you can go back and kind of binge at your leisure. But hey, when duty calls, the Pod Warriors are ready to rise to the occasion. So Jordan, what's going on, man?
I mean, I did say we were going to do more Pod Warriors, but this was definitely unplanned. It is 10 a.m. on April 19th, by the way. Like, this is not going to be a normal episode. I'm definitely not drinking right now. Like, it's
you pussy.
Yeah, right in the middle of the workday. Yeah, just couldn't crack open a Busch Light just yet. So, but yeah, this will be fun. It's just we got to get it done. So, me and Seth will take care of it.
All right. We got a lot of matches to get to. And as Jordan said, it's smack dab middle of the day. So, we don't got a lot of time to, lounge around. Let's get into it, man. We'll start off with the pre-show. We got three matches. First up, this is one that I really thought we were going to see at Revolution, but I guess they decided to just, hold it off before they pull the trigger on it. We're going to finally unify the AEW Trios Championship and the Ring of Honor six-man tag between the Acclaimed and Bullet Club Gold.
I'm a little bit disappointed this is on the pre-show, honestly. Like, I was looking forward to this when I also thought it was going to be at Revolution. I like both these teams. Jay White should never be on a pre-show match, dude. Like, this is, yeah. I mean, if for nothing else, he should not be on a pre-show match, but I think this will be a good match, and thank God they're finally unifying this. We did not need two sets of Trios titles roaming around AEW.
So, question for you, because I've kind of gone back and forth in this in my mind. I agree. There was never, I mean, it's in a way, I was a big fan of these belts getting introduced, but in a way, it was a little bit of a stretch having one set of Trios Championships in a, in a federation or a wrestling company, whatever you call it, just because it's so outside of the norm, man. It's just hard to have a whole division built around Trios Championships. Where do you think this title should live? I mean, I assume that it's going to be an AEW Trios Championship, but if you had your way, man, would you keep this on AEW or would you make it a Ring of Honor thing?
I think it should be on AEW just because, I mean, the amount of like Trios teams that they have, I think more of them are actually on AEW than in Ring of Honor. And it seems like they're trying to introduce more and more of them to the weekly AEW crowd, like the Shane Taylor promotion and stuff like that. Like they're really leaning heavy into introducing more and more Trios. So I would imagine this will be an AEW exclusive, but that's not to say that they won't ever do anything on Ring of Honor, even though it's an AEW title. So I think it'll be mainly on AEW, though.
Yeah, agreed. I think short term, that's definitely what makes sense. I do think it's a little bit of a shame because Ring of Honor had six-man championships going back to like 2016. So you got about 9 years of history built up in that title. And now it's, most likely going by the wayside. But yeah, going back to your point about Jay White, I agree 100%, man. All due respect to Samoa Joe. He's been a cool champ. I think hindsight being 2020, if they could go back, I think maybe you find a way to put that belt on Jay White back at Revolution. Talking about the AEW championship. I'm talking to the wrong guy here. Samoa Joe's biggest fan.
No, it's not even that though, dude. Like, I just felt like it just felt like the right time for Samoa Joe to win that title, and he was the right guy to take it off MJF, because MJF looked completely fine coming out of that match. Like, granted, we haven't seen him since then, but I mean, it's not like that took any shine off MJF losing his title to Samoa Joe. So, and Samoa Joe got his moment. I will never be mad that happened. I mean, I get what you're saying, but Swerve taking the belt off Samoa Joe, I feel like, is going to mean a little bit more. Like, dude, Samoa Joe just, he looks like a goddamn enforcer, like, beating him.
He's got final boss energy for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do feel like, not that he's been absolutely horrible. I mean, he has been featured on TV pretty much every single week, but I feel like Jay White has definitely been underutilized, man. He's all things considered, dude, pound for pound, he's probably one of the three or four best wrestlers, you know. And when I say best wrestlers, I'm talking about in ring, you know, presentation, vibe, Mike skills. He's probably one of the three or four best AEW has, and it doesn't seem like he's been presented like that over the last 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, it almost seems like every time he gets in a feud, something happens. Like, either someone gets hurt or he gets overshadowed by someone else. It's just, I don't know. I think his has been more bad luck than anything.
So let's make some predictions. I say Bullet Club Gold wins this.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense for them to win. They can be on TV every single week. The run of Billy Gunn is, I think we're nearing its end, but I mean, he still looks like $1 million, but I just cannot picture him wrestling every single week for much longer. And Bullet Club Gold needs to be on TV. So yeah, I'll go Bullet Club Gold as well.
All right, two additional pre-show matches. we'll do these as a 2-for-1 special, man. We got Trent Beretta going up against Matt Sydal, and Orange Cassidy and Shibata going up against Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty. Why is Trent and Orange Cassidy not fighting? What I mean, to be perfectly clear, I've kind of been in and out on the AEW weekly TV. I watch the big matches, and I've been keeping up with the recaps on what's happening. But why, you know, Orange Cassidy and Trent should be feuding right now, right? Like, why is this broken into two separate pre-show matches instead of just letting these guys go one-on-one?
I have no idea. I was going to ask you the same thing, honestly. I do not understand this Trent Beretta and Matt Sydal match at all.
Yeah, so if there's some storyline reason why both of these are happening separate from each other, apologies for not being familiar. But yeah, that does not make sense to me, the mechanics of that. So Shibata's a treat, man. Always. It warms my heart, man. This guy kind of is already over with me, because it just makes me smile so much how much Jordan was into this guy when he's first coming over. I always call Shibata Jordan's man crush, just because he's just a huge Shibata fan. But now it's made me a Shibata fan, and the dude is a badass wrestler, so I always like seeing him get a little bit of shine on pay-per-view.
Yeah, dude. I mean, Orange Cassidy and Shibata are on a pre-show match together on a tag team. Like, you told me that 18 months ago. I told you you're full of shit.
All right, so we have another trios match. I think this one's got a good shot to be the show opener. Should be a freaking absolute banger. We got Edge, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe going up against the House of Black.
This should be really, really good. I mean, I don't know if this has match of the night written on it, but it's gonna
steal
be
a show easily.
Yeah, it's gonna be shenanigans, absolutely. But I'm very excited for this. Anytime you get House of Black on a pay-per-view, it's exciting. I like the Team Edge too. I mean, that's three pretty badass people on a team. So yeah, I think this is going to be really good.
Sadly, just the way AEW has booked House of Black, it would not shock me one bit for, you know, Edge and the Edgeheads to get the win, dude. I just feel like it seems like every time you think House of Black's going to go over and like level up, they end up losing again.
They need to. They just got to split this, and they got to split it apart and have Malakai just be a singles wrestler and have the other two be a tag team. The misuse of Malakai, and granted, WWE did the exact same thing. So I'm not saying like AEW is making some huge folly here, because I mean, the dude since NXT has never been booked well. So I just, there's so much more this dude should be doing. Like, this dude should be wrestling for the title.
Yeah, he's been, I love House of Black as a faction, but you're right. He's been presented, they've, for the most part, they've been presented as kind of three equals in the group, where, yeah, you're right. It should be Malakai as, you know, he's Hollywood Hogan, and then you got Brody King and Buddy Matthews as the outsiders, man. I'd love to see them go over strong, look like the badasses that we know them to be, and see Malakai and Edge go on to a, you know, a one-on-one feud and match for that TNT championship. We know Edge to go back and listen to his old podcast, the ENC pod. He was a huge, huge fan of Tommy End and Malakai back in the NXT days. And, you know, Edge loves to lift up the younger talent. So I think him and Malakai would be tremendous.
Maybe we're missing something on Malakai Black, because how does this dude get booked so poorly in two consecutive promotions? Like, maybe there's just something we don't know about the dude. I don't know. Like, there's got to be more to it. There's no way that you look at this dude and the presentation of him and don't think, like, world champion. I don't get it.
I mean, you know, wrestling's still a workplace. You know, we all have people at our jobs that we know are just a pain in the ass to deal with. And maybe that's the case with him. You know what I mean? Maybe he's just a freaking, maybe he's just hard to deal with, man. And it makes him reluctant to give him a big push. But dude's got in ring, the presentation, everything. I think Malakai's the man. So yeah, I'd love to see him get elevated a little bit more. And he has the absolute best wrestling figures in the game coming out right now. Did you see that? They're sprinkling in some autographed figures from those vault releases from Jazzwares.
Like some autographed ones that already got sent out?
Yeah. So if you go to Wrestling Figure News on Twitter, they posted a couple days ago, one collector received their thing from the vault and they had a certificate in there, like basically a certificate of authenticity saying that, you know, they received one of the autographed ones. So that's something to look forward to for these vault releases going forward. It wasn't numbered. You know, the figure was, I think, can't remember if it was either one of 5,000 or one of 3,000. But yeah, some of those were actually autographed by Malakai as well.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Are you getting, did you see the vault releases for next week?
Yeah. Daniel Bryan and Young Bucks. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I'm probably passing on the Bucks. I think I'm getting that Daniel Bryan.
That Daniel Bryan is sick. Yeah, that's a really good figure.
Yeah, Mattel did a really, really good one of that in their flashback line. Or maybe it was their Fan Central line. I forget. It was a Walmart exclusive a couple years back that was really, really cool. This one's even better, though, man. Like, I wasn't even a big fan of Daniel Bryan during that time, but that figure is freaking awesome looking, dude.
See, this is what we mean when we talk about, like, Jazzwares has potential to absolutely kill it in the figure game, because when they get it right, like, that's what it looks like. That's just an absolutely perfect figure.
Yeah, their best goes toe-to-toe with Mattel, dude. If you lined up the top five Jazzwares against, like, the top five Mattel for the year, like, it would be a tough debate. It's the middle of the pack figures is where the, you know, Mattel really starts to spank them, dude. Like, just the, I don't know. I sent you a picture of that autographed Malakai from the vault. That's pretty sweet, huh?
That's sweet. Yeah, that was absolutely awesome. Maybe I should fully open both of mine and make sure there's not one in there.
Oh my God. You still haven't, they're still like sealed in the outer shipper, dude?
Oh yeah.
You're a psychopath, dude. So you haven't even looked at these figures yet?
No, not yet.
Then why do you buy them, dude? You're literally just buying a box. I mean, that is legit just buying a box, dude.
Just relax. I'll open them today and make sure I got an autograph in there.
Yeah, let me know if you got one, dude. That's, are they handy, dude? Are they close by? I kind of want to find out on the air, dude.
They're not close by. They're downstairs.
All right. Yeah, I think for the ones I really like, dude, I may start buying two. Because, the resale is always going to be there for the hot figures off the vault, dude. So I may buy, because I'm sure, I don't even know if I'd sell one, dude, if I got that lucky. But if you did, I'm sure that'd be a nice little flip. So let's make picks, man. I'm picking Edge and the Edgeheads to steal one here, dude, just because House of Black seems to have a habit of coming up short on pay-per-view.
And just based on the current booking, it's kind of hard to pick against Edge. I mean, he's white hot right now. So, yeah, I'm going to go Edge and the Edgeheads.
All right, we got, do you remember in 2019, we used to talk about the Shane McMahon vortex, dude, like when, you know, Roman was feuding with him for a while, then Miz, and it was just this like tornado of suckage that was impossible for anybody to escape. I feel like we're there with Chris Jericho at this point, man. We got and Hook is the latest victim to fall into it, dude. We got Hook and Jericho for the FTW championship.
I mean, I kind of see what they're trying to do, like, but does this like fully establish Hook like beating a 50-year-old Chris Jericho? I mean, yeah, it's a meaningful win for him, but like, what are we doing? Like, how much longer are we going to continue this little thing? I don't get it.
I'm not convinced Hook wins, dude. I think Hook wins the feud. I think Jericho might go over, dude. It's FTW rules, so you got all types of, you know, fuckery that could happen. We know Jericho's got, you know, 24 former faction members, dude, that could come back to help him out. I don't know, man. I could totally see a heel Jericho parading around with that FTW championship on Wednesday night and talking cash shit.
God, that just seems like such a worthless thing to do, though. Like, I get it, like, in the booking sense of Chris Jericho being a heel and just being a pompous asshole when he comes out there. But, dude, Hook is still one of their young stars, and he should be treated.
Like Hook a lot.
Dude, he's so good. I'm not saying this dude's going to win the title in like 2 years or anything, but he is really good.
He could totally be in the mix for the other mid-card titles, you know, the Continental, the International, TNT. He's totally realistic to challenge for those. But, dude, I think Jericho walks out of there with this belt, man. I can picture that so clearly, him, you know, being smug as hell, parading around with that FTW championship, talking shit to Taz. And, you know, he'll make it a whole anti-ECW thing. You know, he'll talk about how he started there and had to, you know, leave them behind because they were garbage. I could hear that promo in my head right now.
I'm going to go Hook just for the fact that Jericho pushed Taz down the other night. Like, usually when you assault a member of the other person's family, usually it goes the opposite way. So I'm going to go Hook for that reason.
Yeah, tough to come back from that. All right, we have the Undisputed Era explodes. We got Roderick Strong defending the International Championship against Kyle O'Reilly. I think we're going to see the Kingdom start to get reestablished. You know, that report came out that Adam Cole is nowhere close to returning. I guess he's had some serious complications on getting that ankle healed up. I could actually kind of see two things with the Kingdom. I see them kind of pivoting a little bit and making it more of like a, you know, Roderick Strong leadership type deal, and then reestablishing themselves with a big win over Kyle O'Reilly. Or it could be one of those wrestling things where it kind of just quietly dissolves, dude. And, you know, we don't have a big breakup angle. It just stops being a thing. But I do think Roderick Strong is going to successfully defend his belt one way or another against Kyle O'Reilly on Sunday night.
Those Adam Cole toddler buns just aren't healing properly right now. Like, his little baby buns can't mend themselves back together. I have zero interest in this. Like, the match, the feud, the Kingdom, it's just ruined at this point. And the worst part about it is, so all this shit's happening. This was like the hottest feud with MJF, and then Adam
Cole. It was the most compelling thing they'd done in a while with that devil storyline. I was tuning in each and every week to see what the newest development was going to be.
The devil thing happened, and then it was over. Like, it just, dude, again, another fucking shade of bad luck. Like, Adam Cole gets hurt. MJF is completely banged up at that point. Like, I think the reason that whole thing ended was a little bit of both of them being hurt. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I just have zero interest in this. I completely forgot Roderick Strong even won the international championship. I don't know, man. Kyle O'Reilly looking like a homeless guy that's camping outside of Walmart isn't helping either. Dude, this is not Kyle O'Reilly. This is like someone that's dressed up as Kyle O'Reilly. I just refuse to believe this is the same dude that had all the swag in the Undisputed Era. I don't know.
Remember, man, he was main eventing, and he was like the top babyface on NXT for a stretch.
Yeah, dude, he just, I don't know, man. I think Roderick Strong wins as well. I just don't think Kyle O'Reilly holding that belt is going to look very like prestigious or anything. Like, homeless man wins title. Yeah, I don't have much excitement for this one.
We were going back and forth in the Turnbuckle Tavern Facebook group, man, discussing this ankle injury, dude. Like, I was starting to speculate, like, I wonder if, because, I mean, dude, I feel like, you know, dude, as much as we follow sports and stuff, I feel like a broken ankle, you'd be back by now, you know? I mean, it's been a long time, dude. I'm wondering if maybe, you know, he had some pretty severe concussion issues. I'm wondering if maybe something else bubbled up with that, and maybe they're using the ankle as just a cover up, dude, to the, you know, before they got to make a final determination. Unless there's something more to the story, man, it seems kind of weird that the ankle has kept him out this long to the point where they're taking him back off TV and saying he's nowhere close to returning.
Yeah. I mean, or they could just be playing all of us and doing an angle and making us all believe that he's not coming back. And then he comes out. I mean, that would be typical wrestling storyline. So I hope he comes back, man, because he was so hot when he got hurt, and they're missing him really bad right now.
Yeah, big time. All right, we're halfway through our matches. Let's take our totally sober beverage break. Stars are bright above that little Texas town. All right, that is a little sample from Ernest's newest album, Nashville, Tennessee. Definitely recommend that one. Have you had a chance to listen to it yet, Jordan?
Yeah, it's really good. I'm honestly shocked there wasn't a Taylor Swift song there. Like, I just know you stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning listening to that.
Dude, I did have it set up for auto download. I pre-ordered, so it's sitting on my phone, but I haven't listened yet, dude. Like, you guys know I'm a big time Swiftie, dude. Like, if I'm really gonna listen to some new music, it's got to be like at night after everybody's gone to bed, and I'm just vibing out, playing Xbox, man, having the music on. Jordan knows I was texting it. Well, it was like 1:30 when I was texting you about Ernest's new album last weekend, right?
Yeah. What the hell was dude, I doing? Oh, I was at that function. That's right. I was like, why the hell was I up drinking at that point? Because usually I pass on the couch because I start going usually around noon, and usually making it till 2 a.m. is quite the chore for me.
Yeah. See, my kids are much younger than Jordan's, dude. So I'm usually a little bit more tied up. I'm usually about like 6, 7, sometimes 8 before I get started, dude. So I'm usually peaking around like 12:30, 1 o'clock if I'm just having a, you know, knocking a few back, playing Xbox or watching wrestling kind of night. But it's our sober Pod Warriors, man. I have to go back and listen. There may have been one before, but I think this is the first time we've done a sober Pod Warriors. All what right. are you drinking as we pod today?
Just an orange Gatorade. What an absolute lame-o.
Oh, is orange your favorite, dude?
I go between orange and then the cool blue one. Like, those are probably my two favorites.
The cool blue is the coldest, man. If you're on like the hardcore like Gatorade, like Reddit groups and stuff, people swear that the cool blue just gets just a little bit colder than the other flavors, man. I prefer, if I'm going with the classics, dude, I will go with Fruit Punch most of the time, the red. Mm-hmm. Kind of the offshoots of two I like is the Citrus Cooler. That's like, that was one of the OG flavors, but they bring it back from time to time. It's really good.
Yep.
And then I like the Cucumber Lime. It's tough to find it. It's rare that I see it out, but occasionally I'll find a bottle of the Cucumber Lime. It's really good.
So we drink a lot of the zero ones just because there's so much fucking sugar in Gatorade.
Yeah, it's basically Kool-Aid, man.
And they came out with a green apple zero one, and we got it last week. It literally tastes like a Jolly Rancher was dropped into a Gatorade. It's phenomenal.
Nice. You remember the when we were kids, the lemon ice, the clear lemon flavor?
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about that, dude. That slapped, dude. Lemon ice Gatorade in the old school glass bottles. That was basically like the champagne of Gatorade.
Dude, when they did all like the old Frost flavors too, like when they had Riptide Rush and all those flavors, like those flavors were hitting.
Yeah, I love some Gatorade, dude. We don't, like you said, dude, there's so much sugar in it that we typically don't get it a lot. But if we do, it never lasts that long around the house, man. Like when I was on my deployment, you know, I'm out on a ship for 6 months at a time. I would live off that powder. I would get Sheena to send me the, you know, the little tanks of the powder, dude. And I just make my own Gatorade out there, man. It just, it's good stuff. I am drinking an OG 8 ounce Red Bull, man. So we talked about the Gatorade. What's your Red Bull of choice, Jordan?
I don't do a ton of Red Bull. Like if I get one, it's usually like a watermelon Red Bull, but
what's your energy drink of choice then? Cause I used to be big on the Full Throttle, and then I got kind of burnt out on the 16 ounce cans. That's just a whole lot of fluid to down, dude. So I've started going back to the OG 8 ounce Red Bull, man. That's my go-to.
Usually I do like the Monster Zeros. I like the Ultra Monsters, like the peach one and then the strawberry one are like two of my favorites. The orange one, if you're drinking one in the morning, I mean, it literally has an orange juice flavor to it. So I like that one too for the morning.
Okay, cool. All right, let's get back into it, man. House rules for the AEW TBS Championship, Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale. First off, dude, I just want to show some love to Julia Hart, man. She is, over the last 4 years, she's improved so much to where, like, now she's one of my, I get, you know, about as excited to see her as just about anybody on the show, dude. Like, seeing her entrance live and in person at Revolution back in March, I was like, dude, this chick freaking rocks, man. Like, she's gotten to where she's good enough in the ring. But all the other stuff, she is just really leveled up, like the presentation, the mic skills, everything. So I'm a big fan of hers. Definitely a little bit nervous for her going into this match, though.
Yeah, I think it being house rules, Sasha being in the background, like
who's Sasha?
The CEO, sorry, Mercedes Moné. I just feel like she's going to help Willow win because I feel like she wants that Willow match. And I feel like we're getting Willow and Mercedes at Double or Nothing. So yeah, I'm gonna go Willow on this match.
Same, yeah. Her and Mercedes for the TBS Championship feels like a proper debut for Mercedes. And, you know, you got Chris Statlander, who's been involved in this program also. So I think there's going to be enough gaga, as Pat Patterson would say, dude, that I think we're going to get some sort of fuck finish. But unfortunately, it's going to end with Julia losing that belt. But no shame to her, dude. No. If you would have told me, you know, 2 years ago that this chick's going to be going to hold a title, you know, have a semi-significant reign with a title in AEW, I would have told you were smoking crack. But she's done it, and I think it's time for her to go off and, you know, go to some other cool stories, man.
Oh, she's definitely leveled up. I think she's honestly leveled up to the point where I could buy her being in a AEW Women's World Championship match at this point. Like, she definitely has done a ton of work and really crafted herself. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what the future holds for her.
I'd like to see her tighten up that affiliation with the House of Black also. Like, she's still a member, you know, but it feels like they've kind of drifted a little bit. You don't see all four of them together a whole lot, man. I think it'd be cool to see her, like I said, just more of like a, you know, a fully formed member of the House of Black, man. They're with the, you know, they're at ringside with them every single match and stuff like that.
I wish Brody was her heavy for every match, dude. Like, him and her together is just like a match made in heaven. Those two are just perfect together.
Yeah, definitely, dude. Brody King is the man. All right, we'll do these next two back-to-back because they're really kind of, you know, opposite sides of the same coin. We got Okada and Pac for the Continental Championship, and then Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. Both of these are potential Match of the Year candidates. They're guaranteed to be, you know, five-star bangers. I'll be shocked if either one of these matches isn't an instant classic. Which one are you more excited for?
Okada and Pac. I just
same dude same,
man. That I think I feel like this match is gonna absolutely bang. Like I know everybody's looking at the Ospreay Bryan Danielson match of the night. I feel like this is gonna be the match of the year, honestly. If they give these two 25 minutes, which 25 minutes, I feel like that'll be enough time, because I think people forget how good Pac is sometimes because he's been gone so long.
Dude, he's one of the best.
Okada was arguably the best wrestler on the planet for five consecutive years. I feel like we are destined to have a real Okada match at this pay-per-view.
And they, you know, they're a little bit more different styles. They're a little bit more contrasting. You know, Ospreay and Danielson are definitely different. Ospreay, especially at this point in his career, Ospreay's a little bit faster, doing more of the high-flying stuff, but they're still pretty similar, dude. Like, if you're creating them on WWE 2K, you're starting off with the same template and then tweaking it for those two. Whereas Okada and Pac, you know, he's kind of that same style as Ospreay, but Okada works more of a slower, almost like a WWE main event style is kind of the way he works, man. And I think, I just think this match is going to freaking rock. They're both going to be great, but I'm definitely a little bit more hyped up to see Okada and Pac go at it.
Yeah. We've seen the Young Bucks and FTR wrestle, and do not get it twisted. I am fucking jacked for this. This is the best way that this tag tournament could have ended, was with these two going at it again. It's going to be a great match. Like, the Bucks and FTR just know how to put on banger matches, so it's going to be great. But yeah, man, just it still is like mind blowing to me that we're getting Okada in AEW pay-per-views monthly now. Like, it's just, it's exciting for a wrestling fan, and getting him and Pac right out of the gate is a special moment.
I think both the new guys are going over. I think Okada and Ospreay are winning. I'm pretty confident in that. How about you?
Yeah, there's no reason for Pac or Bryan Danielson to win either one of these matches. Like, Okada needs to be booked as about as strong as you can be, considering he's got a mid-card title that's going to get elevated to the top of the card with him holding it. So, yeah, I'm very excited for this.
All right, Jordan teased it a little bit. Up next, we'll talk about the ladder match for the AEW Tag Team Championship. When do you know how this got made a ladder match, or was it just, you know, reasons? They just announced, hey, it's going to be a ladder match now?
Reasons.
Yeah, okay. I'm cool with it, man. It's something different. I think the Young Bucks, I think they're going to win this one, dude, and I think they're going to get a little bit of help from the scapegoat, man. I think we see, I could already see it right now. Either Dax or Cash or both of them are climbing up to grab those belts, and suddenly somebody's at that bottom of that ladder, tipping them over, dude. And Jack Perry helps the Bucks win the belts and becomes the newest member of the Elite.
Cry Me a River starts playing, and then they tip the ladder over.
Oh my god, dude! That would be freaking epic, dude.
I feel like if they do this right, and they Jungle Boy does help them well, Jack Perry, sorry, he's not Jungle Boy anymore. The scapegoat Jack Perry helps him. Dude, I think having, I don't know if they'll do it, but having Jack Perry in the Elite with Okada and the Young Bucks would hit hard right now.
Imagine the Bucks get the tag belts, and then, you know, a week or two from now, Jack Perry takes that that international championship off Roderick Strong. You got all four of them holding gold, dude. Like, that will be the faction that you wanted when you made the Kingdom, dude. Like, I'm here for it, dude. We've always been big Jungle Boy fans on this show, dude. You know, between me, you, Sheena, and Marco, I think we've all, I mean, I'm looking at a Jungle Boy figure on my my shelf right now, dude. Like, I'm all about it, man. I think the guy's got, you know, mic skills could use some tuning up, but I think his charisma in the ring is really, really good, man. And, you know, I totally buy him as being a main eventer. And he'd just be an awesome addition, dude, to add some edge, add some flavor to the Bucks and Okada. They need one more person to really round out the faction. And I think Jack Perry's it. So I'm hoping we see him. I think we're going to see him. How about you?
Yeah, I think we're going to see him as well. Time is right. He's selling out all these shirts and all this merch and stuff. Like, dude, you got to put him back in AEW right now and get him in front of everybody. Now, the one thing I will say is, I think the smartest thing to do with him right now, considering how over he is not put him on TV every single week with the Young Bucks. Like, maybe just kind of filter him in here and there. Like, if they go to the ring for an in-ring promo, maybe have him come out. And obviously the first one, he's going to talk shit about Punk. We obviously know that's going to happen. Like, the one thing I will say about that video is Jack Perry, you can definitely tell what kind of guy he is. Like, he's definitely not a prick. I mean, he put his hands up in that video. Like, I don't think he was trying to escalate it by any means. Maybe he is kind of a pussy, but I mean, I don't know, dude.
Who else has ever had beef with Jungle Boy, though? I feel like exactly. I've never heard a bad word out of him aside from CM Punk. Same thing with Hangman, dude. Punk's always the common denominator in all this bullshit. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. I think the fans are ready to embrace Jack Perry, and I hope we see it on Sunday night.
Yep, I agree.
All right, women's championship match, Timeless Toni Storm against Thunder Rosa. My only wish for this, you know, I know we've been leaning into the fantasy booking a little bit. I want to see Toni Storm get a good win, hopefully clean or as clean as she can nowadays. And I want to see DMD come back, dude. We need DMD back on our TV screens. Let's have DMD come out and confront her after this match to try to, you know, take back the AEW women's division.
It's time, man. I miss her so much right now. Like, I feel like Britt Baker is just the one constant that AEW has always had in that women's division. And she's just, I don't know, man, there's just a different persona with her. Like, she just, it feels different when she's in the ring.
All right. Main event, one of Jordan's all time favorites, dude. Give me the reason why Samoa Joe should keep this belt over Swerve.
I feel like there's going to be interference in this match. And the only reason I'm saying this, I do think it's Swerve's time to win the title. I do. But he does not feel as over in this last month as he did.
Cooled a little bit for sure.
I feel like you got to heat this back up and then run this back at Double or Nothing, maybe in a triple threat or a four way or something. I do think Swerve is eventually going to win the title. Like, I really think it's going to happen at Double or Nothing. I feel like we get some smudge finish here and Samoa Joe keeps the title on like a DQ or something.
You thinking Hangman?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be
is
down.
Is there anybody else that could really get involved?
No, I'd be down for Hangman, Swerve and Samoa Joe again at Double or Nothing for the title. And then Swerve finally gets over. Dude, him winning the title of this pay-per-view would seem so weird to me. Cause I feel like it's going to get overshadowed with Okada and Pac and then Ospreay and Bryan Danielson. I feel like it's going to get overshadowed. That's why I don't think it's smart to do it here. I mean, dude, this pay-per-view is built around Ospreay and Bryan Danielson. Like, let's be serious.
I was going to say, I know that they've made a point, it seems like, to keep reminding us that Swerve and Joe is the main event, but it definitely feels like Ospreay and Danielson is the biggest deal. I'm kind of with you, man. Like, I'd smile. I wouldn't be opposed to Swerve winning it, but it feels like, you know, and not that Swerve is like cold now, but it feels just a couple degrees cooler than it did going into Revolution. So I'm kind of with you, man. Maybe we see some sort of fuck finish with Hangman to punt this down to Double or Nothing to make it the big moment it should be when Swerve finally does get that belt, man. I think I'm still picking Swerve, dude. I feel like they're going to make a move, but we'll see, man. I think it could go either way, and that's good. We got some intrigue in that match. It's not a foregone conclusion. the show is called Dynasty. We know back in MLW, MJF's faction was called Dynasty. Do you think we see MJF return here, man? I don't really see a story for it. I mean, he could always show up just because, but it doesn't feel to me like MJF's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, dude, when he left, his feud was with Adam Cole. Like, him coming back now, I mean, I guess he could be in the world title feud, but what's the point right now?
Yeah, doesn't feel like it, man. Like I said, I think maybe when they originally were sketching this out and they called it that, maybe they had an idea this is when he'd be back, and, you know, they're just punting on it. But I don't know. It'll be something to look out for. I think, is there any other big surprise we could get outside of an MJF return? It didn't really seem like there's anything else kind of floating out there right now.
No, there's really no, like, huge free agents right now or anything. I don't think we're going to get anything at this one. I mean, it's going to be a banger of a pay-per-view. That's the thing.
I'm so hyped up for this show, man.
Yeah, we just went through all these matches. Dude, you have no idea how hard it has been for me not to go to this show. It's just with life and stuff, it's been so busy. I mean, St. Louis is a short drive. Like, I've still kicked it around of driving down there Sunday morning and then driving back on Monday morning. But
yeah,
it's just, I mean, I really think this show has potential to be one of their best shows ever, just based on the match qualities we're going to get. I don't think they need to do anything, any surprises or anything. Like, I feel like this show's going to deliver on its own.
They've put together an absolute banger of a card, dude. I'm so stoked for this one, man. Like, it'd be tough to put together, you know, a better 12 match show, man. Like, it's going to be tremendous. I will say, dude, I was talking to somebody else about this earlier this week, man. Why did they go away from the Saturday pay-per-views? Remember, like, when AEW was first starting, like, their first handful were all on Saturdays. And we're like, dude, this is so awesome. And then it's like they kind of just handed that off to WWE and let them start taking the Saturday shows, and they went back to Sundays, man. Like, that's my only thing. Because, you know, AEW pay-per-view is going to be long as hell, and it just sucks staying up that late knowing you got to wake up for work on Monday. It would be so much better if these things were on a Saturday night still.
There's got to be something behind it. Like, there's got to be some supporting information that we're just not getting. I don't know, man. I agree with you. I love the Saturday night pay-per-view. It sucks for me during football season, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, because you know, dude, I'm a football junkie. Like, it doesn't matter who's on, I'm going to watch it. So it's tough for me. But the only good thing is when they're on Sunday nights during football season, it's only going against one game as opposed to Saturday nights. Like, there's like 12 college football games on. So
yeah,
I think that might be part of it, honestly. Like, yeah, you're going head to head with the NFL on Sunday nights during football season, but it's only one game. I mean, as opposed to going against 12 college football games, like, it's, I don't know, man, there's gotta be something behind it.
Well, another thing I was thinking is maybe it's a pay-per-view deal, because, you know, WWE for the longest, they were always on Sundays. That was the thing. Maybe there's some, I haven't looked into it. Maybe there's something out there that people are more apt to sit down and drop the 40, 50 bucks for a pay-per-view on a Sunday evening instead of a Saturday. Because, you know, WWE, they're already paid for in that stuff, right? Peacock's paying them whether, you know, five people watch the show or whether, you know, it's 5 million. So they don't really got to sweat that as much. So it could be a pay-per-view deal also. But yeah, if anybody from AEW is listening, bring back the Saturday shows, man. We love them. Yeah. All right, you ready to hit go ahead, Jordan?
I will say, like, the Sunday show does give you a bit of nostalgia, though. Like, it hits you in the feel spot. Because, I mean, when me and you were growing up, like, this is what we did. Sunday nights were pay-per-view nights. Like, You just always knew that was Sunday night. One thing I want to mention before we kind of move into listener mail is I had sent Seth some stuff yesterday about the valuation for AEW and stuff. Man, for a 5-year-old company to be estimated value of $2 billion is absolutely mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, man, it's awesome.
Yeah,
The thing is, people get hung up on some of, like, the, you know, the stuff like the live show attendance or, like, TV ratings dipping soft, like, a little bit. But overall, dude, AEW is still crushing it business-wise, man, right? They're consistently in the top five every Wednesday night on their time slot and stuff. Like, and again, they're so unique because we've never seen this before, dude. A company they basically started at the top, right? They started off with pay-per-view, action figure deals, cable TV, all that, you know, whereas every other company has had to, like, kind of come up out the mud for it. Even WWF way back in the day, dude, like, they started off as just a regional promotion and slowly built up to that. So that's why we've never seen a company that basically is starting off at such a high level. And, you know, I mean, for the most part, they've maintained, dude. There's been some ups and downs along the way, but they're still chugging along. And if you go back to Tony Khan's early interviews, he had always said that he thought it was going to be the second media deal before they became really profitable and like sustainable as a business. And, you know, God willing, we're going to see an announcement here in the next couple months that they're renewed on with Warner Brothers, dude. And hopefully we start to see some streaming on Max.
Yeah. TNT and TBS is not getting rid of this. Like, no matter what anyone says about TV ratings, no matter what, they're still drawing a rating and people are still talking about AEW. Like, TBS and TNT are absolutely in love with this partnership. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, so I'm definitely at a 10 on this one for excitement level going in. How about you?
Oh, 100%. Probably a 15, honestly. Like, dude, I mean, there literally is three Match of the Year awesome candidates on this card. Like, I just, yeah. I mean, it's pretty rare that you get that, especially on what you would probably consider a B show for an AEW show. I mean, they booked this like it was a completely A show, like this is all in or something like that. So I'm very excited.
Dude, outside of the Trent and Matt Sydal match, that Orange Cassidy Shibata tag, and the Tony Storm and Thunder Rosa, every single other match on the show, I'm fucking jacked to watch, dude.
Yeah, well, the good thing is two of the matches you just mentioned are on the pre-show, so you don't even really have to watch them.
Yeah, man, so it's going to be great. You ready to get into the mailbag?
Let's do it.
All right, so Alex Eubank says, how long will it take to pivot away from Jey Uso, Michael Cole, and Pat McAfee saying yeet 100,000 times every time he's on screen? It's clearly doing well moving merch, but I absolutely can't stand this version of Jey Uso. Yeeting and yeeting is take away from all the awesome character career development and work he's done the last few years. The garbage match with Jimmy at Mania didn't help either. But who actually enjoys the nonstop yeeting?
I mean, he's moving merch like you just said, and the number one thing WWE has proven they care about is money. Like, if we're printing money on something, they're going to keep doing it. I love Jey Uso right now. I texted Seth the other night. I think this dude has completely leveled up. Like, he now is a main event talent. Like, I mean, he's one of the top five guys on Raw now. So I'm very excited to see how this moves forward. Do I love the yeeting? Not really, but it doesn't take away from Jey Uso for me.
I agree. I feel like he could turn back the series if he could. I totally get, Alex does make a good point that he's kind of flirting with, you know, becoming almost like a comedy act, but I feel like he can turn it back on and get serious when he needs to, dude. And I'm already in my mind setting the tissues aside for when we get Roman Reigns reuniting the Usos later on this year.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible.
I need you. I keep picturing Bret Hart when he brought back Owen and the Bulldog, man. All right. Sambro says, are we done seeing the Hardys in AEW? Definitely feels like it. And we already got Matt Hardy kind of teasing stuff that he might be involved in this Wyatt Six revival.
Yeah. And you know what? All things considered, it was cool to get the Hardy boys back in wrestling again, because obviously the end of their WWE run wasn't the greatest. All things considered, I think it was fine. Jeff Hardy, still an absolute idiot. But, I mean, outside of that, yeah, I feel like their AEW run was just, it was fine. I mean, they are what they are at this point in their careers.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down for one more nostalgia run in WWE. Or, like I said, seeing Matt Hardy being, maybe going in like a manager role, like part-time wrestler role with this, whatever this Wyatt thing ends up being.
I'm not going to lie. Why do y'all think? I feel like for like 8 years, they leaned so heavily into the delete stuff. I feel like it kind of, I mean, no pun intended, in my mind, it kind of deleted like the Hardy Boys persona to me. I don't know.
The old Team Extreme.
I don't know, man. It just doesn't feel the same now as it used to. I mean, I know they're way older, so it shouldn't feel the same, but like the nostalgia is not really there for me anymore because of that. Like it just,
I mean, it's been long. I mean, dude, on and off, they've been doing like, you know, the broken multiverse or whatever you want to call it for about 9 years now, whereas Team Extreme, that really lasted like 3 years, dude. And then they went off and, you know, Jeff went solo and Matt started doing like the Matt V1 and all that stuff. Like, it seems like it was such a monumental period of time just because we were kids. But I mean, yeah, I think you're totally right, dude, that at this point, that's become a bigger part of their career than the Team Extreme era did.
Dude, I feel like the Team Extreme era was just like, I mean, they just put on so many banger matches. You had all the TLC coolest matches and stuff. So I feel like maybe that's why it feels like it was a longer run. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, whatever they do with him, I'm sure it'll be fine as long as Jeff Hardy can keep his mouth off the booze.
Yeah, the Hardys were the coolest, man. I remember I used to want to go to Gadzooks and get, you know, a stretch shirt and then like the big black pants with like 55 zippers and chains and buckles on them,
dude. Some fishnet.
Yeah, some fishnet sleeves. All right. Why do y'all think House of Black is never in the AEW championship story? Joe is cool and Swerve will have a short run, but I feel like Malakai with the House of Black would be an amazing storyline with potentially Brody turn on Malakai or whatever. Kayfabe, they seem like they should just dominate the entire roster. I agree, man. When they're in action, they look like they should never freaking lose. So we kind of already discussed it, dude. I don't know. The only thing I can think is maybe Malakai is just a freaking pain in the dick to work with.
Yeah, I mean, and then you got Buddy Matthews strutting his shit around the bathroom because gets to bang Rhea when he goes home every night. Like, I'm sure that's a that's a pretty big fucking trophy for him. So I don't think he needs anything else. Brody is awesome. That is my one really big gripe is the way they've booked him more than anything.
He's a beast.
Like, he should be booked so much better. That I'll never forget that. I mean, they did a figure form of it, that match with him and Darby. That was honestly one of the coolest under the radar matches of last year.
Casket match, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Do you guys think there's any validity to what guys like Triple H say about AEW, about the easier schedule, et cetera? I feel like I'm hearing this from more and more people in the business. I mean, Triple H ain't wrong. Like, they definitely work on a lighter schedule, but I can tell you straight up, dude, like, if you tell me I can make more money for working less, I'm taking that 10 times out of 10. What you're giving up is this possibility that maybe you end up being a WrestleMania main eventer and you can live off that exposure the rest of your life. But I don't know about you, dude. If you're telling me I can work less and get paid more, I'm taking that deal 99 times out of 100.
Well, let's see here. They paid Ospreay more money. He has to work less. He can still live in his home. They're not making him move to the U.S. Like, they just said, we just have to stay on top of your visa and stuff like that and make sure that you're eligible to work all the time. I mean, dude, outside of not being able to work WrestleMania, like, what is the downside of working in AEW? The most part, they let you have creative freedom. I mean, they kind of just, I don't know, man. It seems like if you're a younger guy that wants to save his body and stuff, I feel like this is the better route to go.
And WrestleMania is always going to be there. If you're a guy like Ospreay, he could totally go to WrestleMania. He could go do, you know, WrestleMania 43, dude.
Sign a 1 month contract. And like, do you think WWE is going to be like, oh no, we don't want you for a month. Like, yeah, the Okada, Ospreay, all those guys, they could literally call Triple H tomorrow and be like, hey, we want to work WrestleMania next year. It doesn't have to be the main event. And Triple H would be like, absolutely.
Exactly, man. Yeah. And I get it, dude. Like, you know, no kids ever grew up wanting a main event double or nothing. Like, right. WrestleMania is still the thing that's going to live on forever if you do it. But dude, you're not guaranteed. There's a ton of amazing wrestlers in WWE that don't, you know, I hate to sound like Michael Cole, but they don't get that WrestleMania moment. You know what I mean? They either don't make the card or they're just in a random mid-card match. Like, it's real. If you look at like the people who truly do something memorable at WrestleMania, it's usually like three, maybe four people every year. And I just don't think it's willing to give up the work-life balance and the money banking on it that you're going to be one of those guys.
And not to mention, almost all these guys we're talking about are former New Japan guys. And Tony Khan has left it completely open for them to work New Japan or Wrestle Kingdom, whatever they want to do. I mean, Jesus Christ, look at Mox, dude. He's the New Japan world champion right now.
Hell,
like, and Mox is one of the biggest dudes in AEW, and it was awesome to see. Like, I don't get the whole hating on AEW thing because it's not WWE. That's the entire point, is it's not WWE. Does Tony Khan need work on some of the things he does? Absolutely. Dude, AEW is fucking incredible, and you're on drugs if you don't think it is. Like, we can have two really big wrestling promotions without shitting on one to prop the other one up. Like, they're both awesome. Like, I just, the constant back and forth about, like, why WWE is shit to AEW fans and why AEW is shit to WWE fans. I don't get it. Just fucking enjoy it. Like, they're not trying to be the same thing.
Yeah, both companies are killing it, dude. You know, 2 years ago, AEW was on top. Now WWE's on top. This shit's cyclical, though, man. Give it another couple of years, and I bet you AEW will be back red hot and WWE will be cooled off a little bit, man. That's the way it goes, dude. And the thing is, man, I hear people compare it to late era WCW. The thing about it is, the people that were at the very, very top in charge of WCW didn't care about wrestling, right? They cared about making money. So the moment WCW started to cool off financially, it was already, as Tony Schiavone likes to say, a coffin on roller skates heading downhill. Whereas, dude, Tony Khan might be the biggest wrestling fan in the whole freaking world. So as long as he's got a dollar to pump into this thing, it's going to stay alive. They're going to keep trying to make it better. And yeah, it's going to be fine, dude.
Like, also, we talked about this earlier. It's a 5-year-old company. We still have not hit the peak of AEW. Like, it's still yet to happen. And I do feel like Tony Khan is starting to realize some of his downfalls because he is starting to hire more people. And I feel like in the long run, that's going to help AEW a lot. I still think he needs to hire a main booker. I don't want him to be the booker for every show. Like, granted, he's going to have the final say, but I still feel like AEW is going to hit a huge moment. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and they just hired a new, I want to say his title is like Chief Operating Officer. They hired somebody from WWE to basically run their live events and promotion. So I think you're going to start to see some changes over the next year or so to try to shore up some of the attendance issues that they've had. excuse me, the arrow's still pointing way up for AEW.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to draw 6,000 for a B pay-per-view this weekend. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if anyone realizes that drawing 6,000 people to a show is absolutely incredible. Like, there's singers that wait 20 years to draw 6,000 people to a show. Like, I think people read way too much into the attendance shit because it's not WWE. I'm not expecting AEW to draw 20,000 fans a night. It's just not going to happen. Like, they're too young of a company still. But again, have not hit their peak. They will eventually. And when they do, like, we'll all be there to watch it.
Dude, Greensboro last month, there was not an empty seat in that place, dude. It was 17,000 plus there at the Greensboro Coliseum for Sting's last match. So they can definitely, when they put their mind to it, they can pack a house.
Yeah, for sure.
Question, do y'all think at this stage AEW's relationship with pro wrestling tees hurts or helps? They definitely have issues with live merch at their events, right? Their merch stands are just sparse. And if it's a byproduct of the pro wrestling tees relationship, then yeah, you may be right. You know, pro wrestling tees' whole model is print on demand. So you don't have a ton of inventory just sitting somewhere that you got to sell. You know, you sell it as it gets, you make it as it gets ordered. That may be the reason why we don't see that much AEW merch at the shows. But I don't really know enough of the nitty gritty on that to say one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, but you have to think of it this way too. Like, yeah, it fucking sucks for the merch at the live crowd, but as far as like a company being smart about keeping their inventory low and stuff like that, like the one thing you don't want to do is overcommit to somebody. Like, let's just say they do a persona change for somebody and they got 25,000 shirts that they got to clearance out. I mean, WWE is big enough that they can do that. Cause I mean, look at the clearance section on WWE. It's usually old shirts that no longer apply, like a tag team shirt or something like that. Like, they're big enough to take that hit. AEW is not big enough to take a 20,000 shirt hit. They're not.
Yeah, I feel you. And if people weren't complaining about the merch stands being empty, they'd be clowning them because they have, you know, 8 extra boxes of Swerve t-shirts or something like that. Yeah, so,
exactly.
Yeah, I think for the bottom line, I mean, at the live shows, yeah, I'd say it's probably an issue. But I think bottom line, I think pro wrestling tees is probably the best way to work their t-shirt sales, man. All right. Sambro says, how do you guys think the Japanese talent translates to American audiences? Always seems like they get a decent pop on debut, then they disappear. I don't know, dude. It's always tricky, man, when English isn't your primary language to make that connection with the fans. I feel like Shinsuke has had a decent run. Asuka's had a decent run. It's a challenge, dude. But I mean, there's some great Japanese talents, dude. Look at Great Muda. You know what I mean? He's still a legend all this day. I don't think I ever heard Great Muda talk.
Yeah, and like there's plenty of examples of it, and Okada's going to do fine. Like, he's brushed up enough on his English where he's going to be fine. But yeah, I get it. It sometimes it doesn't connect. I mean, it's just part of it. Like, but us as a society, like, yeah, there's different cultures and sometimes they don't know how to speak English. So like, I guess just kind of go with it. That's a tough question to answer because there's plenty of Japanese talent that has succeeded in the U.S. I mean,
I feel like each one's different, dude. I don't really think, you know, not to get all like super like, you know, Rainbow Coalition, but I don't think you could just paint every single Japanese talent that's come over with the same brush, right? There's all of them have either gotten over or not gotten over for their own individual reasons. And I don't think it has so much to do with just them being from Japan.
I mean, Jushin Liger, like, he was completely over, and I don't remember one word that dude ever said.
Look at Yokozuna. He was a two-time champion.
Fucking incredible.
He was Samoan, though. He wasn't actually Japanese. Still. The audience thought he was Japanese. I still great remember example, on one of the first episodes of Raw, he hit a bonsai drop. And I still remember as a kid, because as he hit it, he yelled out, Samoa! And I was like, yell out Samoa. That was kind of weird. It just, you know, you kind of just rolled with it as a kid.
Yep.
A couple questions we already discussed. We got to, when the hell is Britt Baker coming back? And is it time for us to just forget about Adam Cole? So we discussed those. All right, last question. This is a good one. What do you guys think of AEW running a Vince Stone Cold angle? MJF re-debuts and just beats the shit out of TK. Would the fans cheer or boo? One, I think the fans would cheer. And two, dude, just unless he's taking like some crazy acting classes from like, you know, Tom Cruise and, you know, freaking some of the real legends in the acting game. I don't really want to see TK as an on-screen character, man. The dude's just, he's painfully awkward.
Also, I feel like TK is the type of dude that would genuinely get hurt on screen if they did something like this. Do a line of booger sugar right as he goes out there and then tries to jump off the top rope. Like, I just feel like that has a disaster written all over it. I mean, in theory, does it make sense? Yeah, but dude, I just, no, we can't do it.
I've never been a fan of the on-screen authority figure. I think one thing that has really kind of helped WWE's creative resurgence over the last few years is that they still have them, but they've like tremendously watered down the on-screen authority figures. You know what I mean? Like they're there when you need them. They're more in the, like the Jack Tunney role than like the Vince McMahon, like Stephanie role that we had for damn near 25 years, man. I like it more than that. I like to know that they're there in case you need, you know, in case you need a big ruling, but I don't need to see, you know, every single thing that happens on the show running through some sort of on-screen manager or something.
No, it authority definitely does not need to be there. I really hope Triple H coming out, I mean, granted, it's been the 2 weeks after WrestleMania, but I really hope this doesn't become a constant thing where they have to announce every week that this is the Paul Levesque era. Like, we don't need to do this every week. It's going to get repetitive really fast and really old.
Yeah, I think it was just for that first Raw and first SmackDown of the year, dude. I think
well, that's, he came out on Raw this week, too. Don't forget that. He was out there during the tag titles.
I thought that was just to present the new tag belts, man.
I'm just saying, like, I hope this doesn't become like a thing where this is happening every week or even every other week. Like,
seeing Paul Levesque era t-shirts.
Yeah, I'm a Paul Levesque guy. Doesn't need to be shown in the front row every week. Like, we don't need to like lean into this so much. Like, I love Triple H and I love what he's doing, but let's not get too carried away with this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. You don't want it to become like a trademark thing. Just let it be organic. But, you know, WWE's not good at that at all.
No.
All right, so that's a wrap. Again, thank you guys for bearing with us, man. Shout out to Sheena being super mom and taking care of our little precious Stella with the broke collarbone. So let us know how you guys like us doing these. You know, if it hits, dude, if the numbers are there, maybe we'll start sprinkling in some Pod Warriors previews if there's a show that we're really, really excited about. But Jordan, hit us with some closing thoughts and we'll get out of here, man.
Yeah, man. Enjoy your AEW weekend. Enjoy some Dynasty. If you don't want to pay for it, find a bootleg, whatever. Just watch some AEW this weekend. It's going to be good wrestling.
Said, keep your mouth shut and you'll be fine. Just another enlisted egg in the bowl for Uncle Sam's beater. When you get to damn neck, you hear a voice in your head saying, my life's the longer mine. Have you running with some SAD, SOG, BMFs, and even? Oh, you're setting out on them high seas. It feels just like being born. But that first port call in Thailand. Like a polywog turning 19. They got king cobras fighting in boxing rings, and all the angels play connect four. Seemed like a sailor's paradise, but it turns out to be a bad dream. Well, now you hit the ground running in Tokyo, Kawasaki to Ebisu.